Discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's the Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Jim Belushi is our guest tonight. According to Jim, is the name of the show, Wednesday nights, 8:30 on ABC. Going to start up a new season in the fall, right?
New season in the fall, a new time period, Tuesday at 8:30.
Ah, well, let me write that down there.
But it'll be all summer Wednesday at 8:30.
All right, so I'm going to make a note of that. So congratulations on getting picked up, by the way.
Thank you.
I don't know what percentage of sitcoms make it past the first season, but
I
have the numbers for you.
Three shows now, right?
I have the numbers for you. This is what they told me. 2,500 ideas are pitched to a network. 1,000 scripts are ordered.
Oh, my God.
100 are shot. 25 are picked up. And 2/3 of those don't make it through the first season.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's like a winning a lottery ticket to be on one season, let alone we got picked up for two. So we're real, real happy about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the part that the public takes it from is the part where it's on the air.
Right.
And even that is very slim. Like I said, 30-something percent chance of making it. But it's almost astronomical to get to that point.
To get on the air.
Yeah. Thank God for the drunken networks at Comedy Central aren't paying attention to what we're doing. I was saying last night, and Drew, I don't think this is a movie you've seen, but I was a big fan of Jim Belushi way back in 86 when a movie called Salvador came out.
Oh, yeah, that's an intense movie.
It's an intense movie, but it's a funny movie, and it's just a well-crafted movie.
Yeah, I think that was one of Oliver Stone's, best pictures, but not really, because he's really good. He's gotten great.
I'm a huge...
But it's a raw film, because we had no
absolutely.
Money.
Absolutely.
I had no money to produce that movie.
Now, Drew, you never did see this film.
No.
Engineer Anderson saw it and loved it, I believe. I saw it when it came out and then rented it 5 or 6 times since then. It's James Woods, who's... I think he was nominated for this, wasn't he?
Yes, Oliver Stone was nominated for the script, and James Woods was nominated for Best Actor.
He did an amazing job. Jim could have been nominated for Supporting Actor. He did an amazing job. It's just if you're an Oliver Stone fan, oh, I have no idea, but there's the point. It's a great, James Belushi's a James Wood is a photographer who's like kind of down and out, and he's making his last stand, and he drives out to El Salvador, right?
Right, right.
And Jim is just kind of his drunken, wacky buddy who decides to go along for the ride.
Yeah. Yeah, he convinces me to go because there's the chicks are free and the drugs are cheap.
Right. And you guys were what, in San Francisco or somewhere?
Right.
You
we started off in San Francisco and we drove all the way down to El Salvador.
Oh my God.
It's got a lot of funny moments in it. It's
real
intense.
Black
it's
comedy.
Crazy. It's real dark,
It's real dark and I was supposed to be that comic edge in the movie, and a lot of it got cut because there's so much comedy you can do when they're throwing thousands of bodies off of a cliff, of radicals and leftists and political.
It's real. It's a real Oliver Stone type of a movie, but it's probably out on DVD.
Well, it is out on DVD, and it's a director's cut on DVD, and some of those scenes that were cut are on the DVD, and there's a great a biography almost of the movie. James Woods does this great interview. We all do the interview, but Jimmy really stands out in it.
Yeah, he's
explaining the process of that movie, how intense it was to make it.
I'll tell you, I haven't seen him do much better than that, and he's done a lot of good movies. So anyway, just a little sidebar there.
Thanks,
really love that movie. Kissing a little early ass, Drew. You see that?
I'm watching. Taking notes.
Taking notes? All right. All right, let's take some phone calls. Corey.
Hi. I remember even last night you said, I'm really going to kiss his ass.
Did I say that?
As soon as he gets here, yeah.
Well, no. That's nice, man. I can use a little ass kissing, man. I've been doing it all my life. It's nice to...
Listen, we all could, and let me just put a note out there to the general public. It is appreciated.
Yes, very well appreciated and noticed. Appreciated.
And here's my thing about ass kissing. People say... Oh, that guy's just kissing your ass. Like, I come walking into my office sometimes, and some PA will say, hey, boss, looking good. And then somebody else will say, that guy's kissing your ass. And I'll say, he gets extra points for
extra
that.
Points.
He's trying. That's like a fake orgasm.
That's
you think
right.
That's a bad thing? No, I give her extra points for faking.
Oh, fake orgasms are great.
Thank
They're
you.
Just as good as the real ones.
Yeah, because you get the effort.
Yes. The same thing with breasts. Fake breasts are great, too.
It all means that you care.
That's right.
That's right. Corey?
Hi.
You're 24. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Well, I have a fiancé who's 16, and I'm in Texas, and, you know, of course, I'm here the age of consent, 17 and all that. Mm. I met her on the Internet, on matchmaker.com, believe it or not, and that was, like, in November of last year. And we were together for a while.
Was she 15 when you met her?
No, she had just turned 16.
Where does she live?
She lives in Cleburne, which is like about 60 miles south of Fort Worth, where I'm at.
So you live nearby? She lives nearby.
Yeah, so it's pretty close. And, she had just turned 16 at the right towards the end of November.
Don't you think it's kind of unusual?
16?
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Don't you think it's kind of illegal, first of all?
Well, it's illegal to do something with someone here.
You're have sex.
It's illegal to have them as your fiance, you see what I mean?
Right.
But you okay.
You can have them as your fiance as long as no one thinks you're having sex, right?
And that's 17 the switchover occurs.
Right, at 17, you know it's legal in Texas.
So you haven't had sex with her since you've been engaged?
I have.
You have had.
Yeah, so I guess you could say I broke the law.
Yeah, right. I guess so.
But
yeah, man, you can do time for that, brother.
Yeah, I know.
And you're wondering what the problem is? Go ahead.
Well, there's other problems. We were together, and we actually stayed at her mom's house. And her mom likes me, but her mom is not her legal guardian. Her grandparents are, but they're not actually her grandparents. They're adopted.
Oh, my God.
And they adopted her mom, too, so they're not even related to her. But that's who she's with right now. Now, I stay with her mom for, like, a week, and I stay with her just to be with her. You know, I had a mom place to stay and stuff, but, you know, we really liked each other, and we always have.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, there's more coming. You're going to be like,
mom?
Oh, no, really. So... you know, her mom actually kind of knew that, you know, we were together and stuff in her house. But everything was cool because her mom and I still get along. I mean,
all right, listen, did you diddle her mom or not?
Absolutely not.
No. All right, so what's the question then?
Yeah. So, well, the question is kind of like...
She's going to be 18 by the time you're done with this goddamn question.
I'll make it quick, I promise. Okay, so anyway...
just ask the question.
All right, we ran away. Well, I wanted to know what your opinion on the sub thing is. And the sub thing is like, well, we on matchmaker.com where we met...
Listen, he's mentioned this website twice now. And he's rambling. He's 3 minutes into it. He's got nowhere. Now, look, either he's stupid or he's high.
Or he's promoting a website.
Or he's promoting a website. Either way, I'm cutting him off. I told him to get to the goddamn point. He's not doing it. Listen, if this is a real call and you're 24 and you're thinking about getting married to some 16-year-old who has 5 sets of step-grandparents and 25 legal guardians, it's going to be a disaster.
It's going to be a disaster.
I guarantee it's going to be a disaster.
Just that mom sounds like a disaster.
If I can't stop you from getting pregnant, I mean from getting married, fine, but please don't bring kids into the world for another 25 years.
Please.
With this broad.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be a disaster. Oh, these guys. These guys think they can swoop in, clean up, and save these young chicks, and it turns into it's a disaster.
The other thing, you better not break up this engagement, or he will have a legal problem on his hands, because they will prosecute.
Oh, yeah, you better wait till she's at least legal.
Let's
well,
hope.
No, even after the fact.
It's too late.
Too late. He's
got to
marry this one.
Too late.
Suzanne?
Yes.
You're 22?
Yes, I am. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good. Jim Belushi, incredible.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. I've been having a recurring dream for the past about 2.5 weeks, and it's me in this army tent, laying down on a tent. It's like during a war or some sort of war, and I'm laying in this army tent, and there are army men, all men, lined up outside this tent to come in and have sex with me, one after the other.
Yeah.
And it's as if this is, in the dream, it's normal. It's like it's my job or what I'm there to do.
Past life experience is probably what this is. You're a comfort girl, World War II. What were these guys? What was their nationality?
I can't, just white, I guess. I don't really remember that.
No, okay. Well, that's where my story comes apart. All right.
You have to be Japanese.
Yeah, I have to be Japanese. Right.
All right, Suzanne, have you ever been abused?
Well, when I was 16, I was date raped, and that's how I lost my virginity.
How about before that? Any physical abuse or anything like that?
Well, my father and I didn't get along, and he used to hit me, but I've always been told that that was really no big deal.
No, that's physical abuse, and that's what sets people up to be good victims, and that's why evidently that 16-year-old picked up on this and was able to perpetrate that rape against you. So you're a victim. These victimizers see you, and now you're having dreams about being a victim. And some reason...
Is there any way that I could fix this? I mean,
absolutely.
Besides therapy?
No.
Because it's just...
Suzanne,
I wake up sweating and...
Yeah.
What
do you want to do? Go to a Fender place and see if they can bang out your skull?
Are you doing drugs or alcohol right now?
No.
Do you have a history of that?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a history?
No.
All right. Therapy is the answer. That's it. Okay. You want to just unlearn how to have this dream, but the fact is this is a physiologic imprint of having been a victim, and it's part of you now, and you need to grow out of that. That needs to be grown through.
Well, maybe this is your subconscious giving you the cue to go get some help.
And something in your life is probably triggering this. Something's probably going on right now where you perceive
vulnerability. Okay, and just talking to somebody will help me stop having this dream. I mean, I guess that's not guaranteed, but...
It will. It'll really take time.
All right. Listen, you got abused. You got to talk to somebody. Forget about the dream.
You got a new relationship going on right now?
Yes. I'm actually just got engaged on Saturday.
There you go. This is what's triggering all this stuff. Before you sabotage this wedding, get in and talk to somebody, okay?
Hey, Susan?
Yes.
You know, my reoccurring dream is that I'm one of the guys in line outside the tent.
You are amazing, though.
Yeah, it sucks because I'm 96.
There's the
big fat guy with herpes who's 95.
But you were amazing, Adam. Is that kissing ass piece?
Yeah, she's waiting for me.
Yeah, you kissing ass again.
Salvador, genius.
Yes.
Bridget?
Yeah.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. How are you?
Great.
Good. Jim Belushi, love you.
Thank you.
Awesome. I actually just had a quick question.
Not a fan of Drew.
Questions for me.
Yes, for you. I've been, it's kind of embarrassing, but I guess nobody knows who I am. I've been leaking fluid out of my nipples.
Both sides?
A lot more on one rather than the other.
Well, that is milk. Are you any chance you're pregnant? Are you on a medication?
Just birth control.
Are they a new type of pill?
No, I've been on it for 8 years.
Any history of thyroid problems?
That I don't know.
Have they been unusually irritated? Have you stimulated the breast or anything?
No, they've been really sensitive. There's intense pain. Happens on their own without even being touched.
All right, well, that's the engorgement with milk. You sure you're not pregnant?
As far as I know, no. I mean, I just finished a light cycle.
You've been having sex?
Yes.
Are you married?
No. Been with my boyfriend 8 years, though.
Eight years? Wow.
Since 15.
Yeah. You guys got to break up.
What's that?
You got to break up.
No.
That's too long. You don't want to be with someone. Yeah,
15 to 23.
Come on.
That's way too long.
Jim, come on.
Dump the gun.
Don't piss off Jim Belushi. Yeah. Come over there and break you up. You either break up or Jim breaks you up.
I'll break it up.
I've seen it. I've seen him do it before. It's like a crowbar.
Bridget, you got to see a doctor.
Break up now because you're going to break up in the next couple of years anyway.
You need some blood work. This may be something incidental, but it can be... could be a birth control pill, but usually it's thyroid condition or prolactin secreting tumors in the pituitary gland, this kind of thing. Most common thing actually is pregnancy and medication. So get it checked out.
And I have a Jim Belushi question. Is John Belushi older than you or younger than you? He's older.
Yeah, well, yeah.
It's not. It would have been older than you. Not by much.
Five years.
5 years?
Uh-huh.
Wow. I guess that's about right. I mean, like when Animal House came out, how old were you? What were you doing? Is that weird? Were you in high school when Animal House came out?
I was actually in Los Angeles doing a show at Paramount called Who's Watching the Kids.
When Animal House came out?
Yeah. Animal House came out in like 77,
78?
Yeah, 78, yeah. I came out to L.A. and did my first TV show.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't
well,
know that.
Young.
Well, I thought if John's 5 years older, right? And I thought he was like, I don't know, 22, 23 or something, but he was like 28, 29 or something. Is that what you're saying?
I would say he was probably 29.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So I would have been, what, 23?
Right, right, yeah. Right. Just checking. Something I always thought about. All right. Drew?
It wasn't really a great age difference. I mean, you know, when he was like a senior in high school, I was in like eighth grade.
Do you have other siblings?
Yeah, I have a younger brother, Billy.
Is he working out here? Is he?
No, he lives in San Diego. He's in the construction business.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and I have a sister who's was older than John and me, obviously, and she's a psychic.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
How's that? You gotta be nutty. That's gonna be great. Yeah. Thanksgiving rolls around.
Thanksgiving, old Marion's coming in the room.
Oh, I knew we were gonna have stuffing this year. Canned cranberries.
She's very good though.
Is she?
Oh yeah, she doesn't do the tarot cards thing.
Well now,
because she thinks it's an evil kind of dark-sided thing. She just does playing cards, and she's very spirit. She calls herself a spiritual psychic.
Did she have this growing up?
She said she knew when she was six.
Huh.
You know, but then she went to school and kind of brought out this tendency.
Did she make a living at it?
Oh, yeah, she does very well in the Chicago area.
Where were you guys from originally?
Chicago.
Yeah. Chicago proper?
Yes, Cook County, Illinois.
Wow.
Seems like a good regular place to grow up.
Oh, yeah.
I always feel so cheated by my North Hollywood upbringing. So much of nothing. So much nothing,
we
you
love
know?
Chicago, too.
Yeah, Chicago is such a nice town.
It is a great city.
Yeah, everyone loves Chicago. And you know, there's so much pride and everything. And L.A. is like, people are ashamed. Like, where are you from? L.A. And then if you have any personality at all, people don't accept it. I'm like, I'm from L.A. No way. Yeah, I am. Yeah, but you're funny. Yeah, I know. I just was born here. No, you got too much chutzpah. You got too much attitude. You're a good guy. Yeah, I know. They're like, they can't. Drew, you've gone through this with me, right? Oh, people can't accept that I'm from here.
Too much color.
No.
I've been out here for 15
years. Name a white guy from L.A. that has any personality at all.
Eddie Abloh.
All right.
There's a guy right there. Mike Kars. But I'll tell you, I lived out here for years and didn't know anybody from L.A. And my wife is from L.A. And as soon as I met her, I met everybody from L.A. It's a whole community out here. They're all great people.
A bunch of people live out here.
Yeah,
that's
amazing. Of people live out here. They're not just from Chicago or New York or, you know.
I know, but they're not proud of L.A. I mean, here's what people do, too. People move, or their folks move, from New York, from Chicago, from Detroit, when they're seven to L.A. And now the guy's 44, and he still says he's from Detroit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, okay. They don't want to be from anywhere but L.A.,
he's
right?
Following the Tigers. He's wearing a Tigers cap around. He's a big Detroit guy. Big Detroit. Meanwhile, he hadn't entered kindergarten in Detroit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. What is that? You know why? Because people, it's that 1/18th Cherokee. People need to cling to something, and L.A. is like nothing.
Zero.
No. There's nothing to grab onto here. All right, let's talk to Nate, who's 15. Nate?
Don't tell me you're engaged, Nate.
Nate? All right, Nate, we're going to put you on hold because you're not speaking. Anna?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Ooh. Yeah.
Oh, oh, oh. I don't want to gamble.
That's that's that voice.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It means abuse in childhood.
I just wanted to know if you thought I should see, or I'm trying to convince my parents to see a therapist, for me to see a therapist.
Yeah, how come?
Well, because when I was little, I was, molested.
Who did this?
By two people. One was my babysitter.
How old were you?
Pardon me?
How old were you when it started?
Probably around 3.
Wow. Ooh.
And how long did that go on?
That went on for like half of a year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And then by my neighbor's father.
Mm-mm-mm. See, there's that victimizing thing again. Once someone is a victim, those guys, those predators, just find them. They just keep perpetrating.
I'm telling you, they're like pizza flyers in a parking lot. They put one on every windshield, and then they go home and wait and see when the phone rings.
What is it they pick up on in somebody like Anna, you think?
They don't. They just try it on everybody.
But how do they know this one's a good victim?
They keep going. They don't stop them.
Right, they don't stop. They freeze. Yeah, I agree.
No, I mean, there's subtle things that other people, other than victims, won't go along with.
They kick them in the nuts.
Yeah, I don't mean they sexually attack them, but they just say stuff like, hey, come here, you're pretty, you know, come in, and they sit on your lap, and then they start rubbing the leg, and they don't get uncomfortable on the leg, they freeze up, you know, and they just let them keep going. It's like a series of hurdles they have to get over. Hold on, I don't sound like I know too much about it.
Yeah, it's a whole special
on PBS.
What do those hurdles look like, Adam? Show them all cataloged?
All right. Hey, Anna?
Anna, definitely get yourself some help. Why not? This stuff leaves a physiologic imprint. It can be undone.
How long did this go on with your neighbor?
Probably about 2 or 3 years.
Oh, did it?
Well, I'm a virgin, and I'm going to stay that way for a long time.
What did he do to you then?
Like, fingered me, and basically that was the extent of it. And, like, they watched, I guess, like porn.
Made you watch porn? And did anyone ever find out about this?
I did tell my parents when I was about 8, like a couple years afterwards, because I did feel guilty, and I know that that's, like, I guess, natural.
Right.
So I told them, and the girl, we couldn't find, so that was no big deal. But then the guy, the man, we took him to court.
Oh, good.
Good. Then what happened?
I know this sounds very bad, but I don't know because I didn't want to pursue it.
Yeah. I just didn't.
Listen, I'm just glad it went to court.
Right.
Glad the guy had a little humiliation, maybe ruined his relationship, maybe got his kids freaked out.
Yeah, and we've moved, and so I don't think I'm a victim anymore.
Okay.
I consider myself independent and kind of, I guess, intelligent. So, I don't think this would ever happen again.
No, it won't. But how about some therapy anyway for what did happen?
Yeah, I definitely want to do that.
All right. Well, that's the plan.
Go get it.
Okay, and I'm sorry to, like, keep going on, but so it's not, like, bratty to want to talk to a professional, like, a...
No, Anna, please. It should be some sort of law that requires you to do this.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially for, well, for anybody, but especially for little girls. And that neighbor, how does, I mean, you know what amazes me? If I borrowed my neighbor's cordless drill and didn't return it, I'd be freaked out. If I saw him pulling up the driveway, I'd probably hide behind my trash cans. You know what I'm saying? Can you imagine you're diddling their kid and then sending the kid home? Do you know what I mean? Like, aren't you just waiting for the kid to say, guess what Mr. Wilson did to me? I mean, what must it be like to walk around
waiting for the shoe to drop?
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, isn't it?
I don't know.
Part of the edge, part of the thrill is getting caught, being close to it.
You know? Sometimes.
It seems like it, but then on the other hand, a lot of these guys have, you know, lives to protect. You know, maybe they have businesses, they have their own families and that kind of stuff.
I think the whole point of disease is that it eventually slowly strangles people in the family till someone's dead.
Right.
And, goofing around with the little girl next door is part of the strangulation of your own family and
it is
yourself.
All right. Well, on that happened.
I wish it would just die a little sooner.
Yeah. Yeah, I wish all pedophiles just exploded like.
Was there something that just happened recently with the Supreme Court ruling on registering sex offenders? They're trying to overturn something?
I don't know. I know this stuff is constantly kind of, they're working on this finally.
Megan's Law?
Did they overturn it?
There was something I've been reading in there.
You know what? Our listeners will tell us.
Oh, okay.
So, hey, Tara? We want to know about this. So some Supreme Court decision about child molestation, whether Megan's Law had been overturned or something.
Well, it wasn't been overturned, but they were listening to the Casey? They won't answer me.
If somebody could tell us what that story was.
All right. That's never going to happen.
Yeah, well.
Listen, somebody. Our callers don't know when the smoke alarm is going off.
Our usual callers.
All right. You think we have attorneys up at this hour listening to the show? Jim Belushi is our guest. According to Jim is the name of the show. Soon to be on Tuesday nights, 8:30. Wednesday nights for the rest of the run until the fall season comes around on ABC. Right?
That's right.
We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew.
I wish I had the other ones because they were a little more solid.
Jim is talking about his ladies during the commercial break. Jim Belushi's our guest tonight.
Ladies. I like the way you say ladies.
Well, I mean over the years.
Over the years.
According to Jim is the name of the show. That is ABC. That is Wednesday nights, 8:30. And then going to switch to Tuesday nights at 8:30 in the fall season. Tommy Lee is going to come in here tomorrow night and talk about God knows what. I think he has a new album coming out, by the way. So it's always good to see him. So we'll see him tomorrow
night. I want to corroborate that story about with him and Nikki Sixx slamming Jack Daniels.
Oh, you mean shooting? Yeah. Shooting Jack Daniels.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, my God.
I believe that.
Ooh, that's rough.
Yeah. So we can talk to him about that tomorrow night.
Oh.
Kim.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hi.
You sound like Mr. Mooney from the. What the hell was that? No, Mr. Mooney is from the Lucille Ball show.
Oh,
well, yes. Mrs. Carmichael.
Mrs. Carmichael, that's exactly. Yes, Mrs. Carmichael.
I've been doing a little partying tonight.
All right, baby.
Okay, there we go.
But I do want to say hi to Drew and Adam.
Jim.
But my call is for Jim.
Yes.
Hi, Jim. It's an honor to talk to you.
How do you do?
I'm doing great. I just want to say I love your television show.
Thank you.
I'm so glad it's picked up again.
Thank you.
You deserve it. And I just have a question about a movie you did with Tupac.
Yes.
Oh, gang related?
Yeah, great, great movie.
Yes, it was. And I would like to know what it was like working with Tupac.
Tupac, he had that whole gangster rap thing going for him, but he had a really great allure. I mean, illusion about who he was. But on the set, he was a solid professional actor, and we got along really great.
Huh.
And he's a musician.
Uh-huh.
And I'm a bit of a musician, and we actually did some verbal jazz together, is what I consider it. We improvised a lot of scenes together. We never talked about what we're going to do. Sometimes I would be up in a scene, you know, being a little louder, and he would kind of come underneath it like a rhythm guitar, and then the next take he would kind of take the lead, and I would come underneath, and we just had this great kind of chemistry and connection together.
What year was that movie?
Was that 95?
Yeah, I think 95.
Sounds about right.
I think so.
Yeah, it was a great experience working with him. And unfortunately, you know, with his death, we won't see any more because I thought he would develop into quite a strong...
I thought he could have, too.
Yeah.
I think he would have come a long way.
I loved him.
His legend will live on.
Yeah, and we had a kind of funny thing because I brought him some Frank Sinatra CDs.
Oh,
he never listened to Frank Sinatra.
Never heard him?
Oh, man, he loved Frank Sinatra.
Really?
Oh, God. We were trying to figure out a rap version of Fly Me to the Moon. And but he finally, you know, after about 3 days of, like, us screwing with it on the set, you know, trying to figure out a rap version, he goes, you know what? That melody that he sings is so beautiful.
Wow.
There's no way a note should change. So,
right.
So, yeah, so at least I brought him a little, little jazz, too.
Hey, Kim?
Yes.
Thanks, baby.
Well, can I have a comment for you, Adam?
No.
Can I ask you, please?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, last night I was listening, and you were saying that all blondes over 40 are just ragged out. And
no, I didn't say that.
But I want to tell you that I am a hot 42-year-old.
Right. I bet
I am hot, hot, hot.
Yeah, you're hot because you're drunk, drunk, drunk.
No,
hot, hot, hot. I'd be flaccid, flaccid, flaccid if you were with me.
I guarantee you that. I have two children, no stretch marks. I'm 5'8", 130 pounds.
Yeah, you got that weird hair and some funky teeth.
No, I have Farrah Fawcett hair. I am still called Farrah.
Right, right.
You're fat.
Farrah Fawcett, circa 1977, right?
But I don't look like Farrah. I'm better looking than
Farrah. You're being abusive now.
Okay, all right.
Give her her props.
I just want you to know that not all 40-year-old women are over the hill.
Thank you for standing
no,
up
No, I did not say that. All right, and listen. And by
why don't you say what you said?
Here's what I said. I said that blonde women have a prime that probably is a more of a prime than any other nationality.
It trumps
any nationality. But here's how it works. It's interesting how it works to me. Life is very even this way.
Jim's already cracking up. He hasn't heard your point yet.
Here's what I'm saying. Black women, Chinese women, Mexican women, they never have the prime that the blonde has. There's nothing. Yeah, there's nothing hotter than a 19-year-old blonde with the blue eyes and the blonde hair and the legs and the whole thing. That's not a racial thing. It's a fact. Every nationality in the world is attracted to a leggy 19-year-old blonde. But the candle that burns bright burns a little shorter. Now, the black woman can still look completely hot well into her 40s and 50s, she has a longer prime.
Right,
the
right,
blonde. If it was a graph, the blonde would fall off much faster than the nationalities that never hit that peak.
Unbelievable with the time you spend thinking of these things.
I do. I spend a lot of time.
This is that North Hollywood thing you were talking about earlier, right?
More explicit, the area under the curve would be greater for the black woman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Asian and Hispanic and I think all the way down the line, which is the higher your peak in your prime, the shorter it is.
Do you think that's a skin issue, that our skin wrinkles and stuff when you're fairer?
I think that's part of it. I haven't really exactly broken it down.
Yeah, you got to go to that level now because...
But I'm going to work on it.
Let's go to the science part of it now.
Yes, it's melanin, right? Is that the skin color is?
Mm.
Yeah, that could be it. The more of that, the longer your prime, but the less your height you get, okay. lower the peak. That's right. Alice?
Yes.
You're 28?
Yes.
What's up?
I think I know what ruling you guys were talking about, the Supreme Court ruling.
All right.
Let's hear it.
There's one right now. I'm actually looking on the internet. There's one right now where they're redoing or they're rehearing the challenge to the offender list that people have to post. I guess they have to post to communities.
Right.
And somebody's challenging it because for whatever reason. Anyway, and then another one is that they just did is the child pornography, where if it's like a drawing of a child or if it's just a really young looking adult,
right,
you know, whatever, shaved or, you know.
Remember one time we got a call from a guy that had been sort of lured into a thing and then entrapped and then was just ruined? Remember that guy?
No, but I'm high when I come here
a
lot of
times. I'm sorry for asking. I beg your pardon.
Well, you know, I had a couple of feelings. I had a conversation with our Lieutenant Cognac, who came in here once and talked about all these things. And, you know, I never thought about this, but in terms of child pornography, he investigates these things, this acquaintance of mine, and he says that when someone is 14, 13, 14, 15, they can't tell from the pictures what age they are.
Yeah.
And it's hard to prosecute. You know, you always think of child pornography as 7 years old, 5 years old, but there's a lot of it where the chicks are 12, 13, 14. Mm. They have to show these pictures to doctors to try to get them. Drew, that might be a gig for you, by the way. That sounds like a decent gig. I mean, it's all above the board, right?
Marcel.
Dr. Marcel do that. Plastic surgery, right. I guess if you volunteer for it, they look at you a little cross-eyed. But the point is, they show this stuff to doctors to help them try to prosecute these guys, to look at these pictures of people they oftentimes can't find. Mm. But I don't know. I'm with. Here's my feeling, and everybody always. This brings us to a bigger point with all this 9/11 stuff and people losing their privacy and cameras everywhere. People are worried about this. I'm not worried about it. My feeling is hey, if you ain't beating off to any 10-year-olds and you're not smuggling a fertilizer in your apartment building, then what are you worried about? What do you care if there's a camera in the hall? What do you care if a neighbor's taking a look around to make sure nothing's suspicious? What do you care if someone's on the internet posing as a hot 11-year-old? Yeah. If you ain't buying, then who cares who's selling? Do you know what I mean? And I worry about these people that are so worried about this.
Well, what you worry for is your children, especially with the internet. And there was an FBI guy that spoke at the rape treatment center that went through a detailed examination about how these pedophiles lure and track and trace young adults and abuse them.
Hmm. And I know the ACLU, these pussies, have a big problem with all this kind of stuff. These are the first people who cry murder when this kind of stuff goes on. I have no problem with the cops combing the internet posing as 11-year-olds. I'm fine with that. Here's the deal. If you're not a pedophile, what are you worried about? And if you are, why do we want to protect them? It drives me insane. One quick thing before we go to break drives me nuts about those ACLU pussies.
Yeah, I'm starting to jump on your back on that.
Thank
one.
You.
They're
Thank
starting
you.
To really get to me, man.
Let me give you a good.
I mean, when they started talking about all these detainees, these Al-Qaeda guys, guys. You're losing a lot of credibility here.
Let me give you a prime example of what the ACLU does. Somebody came up with a real good idea a few months back, which is let's get DNA samples from guys who are on death row because we have a lot of unsolved crimes out there on the books. Chances are if a guy's killed somebody and he's locked up, probably involved with a couple other murders before he got locked up. And what we can do is we can get DNA from the guys who are on death row. We can then try to sync it up with some of the unsolved crime DNA and close some of these cases. A, give some closure to these families who I'm sure would love to know that their guy is on death row instead of what they think still roaming the streets, and B, freeing up a lot of the cops who are working on these cases that are still open to work on other more important things. Well, what's the ACLU do? They jump right on in there and say these guys cannot give DNA samples. These convicted death row murders cannot give DNA samples. They can only volunteer. If they don't want to volunteer, then you cannot get it from them.
Adam, everyone knows that once you have death row inmates offering DNA samples, your children are next. What's the Sabbath? And then your dog, and then your cat. And what's to stop that from happening? Everyone knows that happens in every country where they break a tiny crack in the wall. It all comes flooding through.
That's the one I love. That's the one. It's that BS, slippery slope
only
argument.
Only attorneys believe that.
Yeah, because they make this argument, and no one ever stops them. They're like, yeah. Today, it's death row inmates. Tomorrow, preschoolers. Yeah. Preschool. And no one ever steps in and goes, hey, are you high? What are you talking about? It drives me insane.
Is their effectiveness still strong?
Who, ACLU?
Yeah,
because they have a lot of attorneys, and they, for instance, got an injunction on this thing. Now, only guys who volunteer on the death row to give DNA samples, obviously the ones we aren't interested in. But here's the deal. I've said this many times, what drives me nuts with the attorneys, which is, if the guy has committed other murders, shouldn't we know about it? Are you against that? Is the ACLU and their attorneys against us knowing about other murders, this guy? I mean, what are you saying? And if he didn't, then what are you worried about? I mean, isn't it a catch-22? Doesn't it solve itself?
Hey, you don't have any argument over here, man.
Thanks, buddy. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Jim Belushi, our guest tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Jim Belushi is our guest tonight.
Hey, damn show always interrupts our discussions. Every break.
Yeah. According to Jim is the name of the sitcom. It is currently on Wednesday nights, 8:30 on ABC, and will be shifting in the fall to Tuesday nights at 8:30 on ABC. Picked up for a second season. So let's hop back to phones and speak to Marie, who's 22. Marie?
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I'm facing a pretty difficult situation right now. I'm 22. This will be the sixth laparoscopy I've had in 2 years.
For what?
Endometriosis mm-hmm. and tumors in the left ovary.
Cysts in the left ovary.
Yes. Well, they're solid little chunks. So cysts, benign tumors, they've mm-hmm. been diagnosed by surgeons both ways. They're abnormal growths. Anyways, regardless of that, I have a 2.5-year-old, which I love and cherish, and I wanted more children. And now I'm looking at losing that left ovary, which cuts down my fertility in half.
Well, who told you that?
Doctors,
no.
plenty of books that
wait,
I've
wait,
read.
Wait a minute. Cuts your fertility in half?
Yeah.
You can have normal fertility with one ovary.
I can, except for that ovary isn't quite as functional as it.
Yeah, but it does not cut your fertility in half. Let's be very clear about that.
Okay.
You okay. mean losing one ovary does not.
It's like losing. It's like losing one testy. You can be normally for. You have normal fertility with one ovary and
right.
with one testy.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Anyway. Are you saying that the one that's left over is damaged in some way?
Yeah, I've had a mass removed off of that one also, so there's lots of scar tissue.
Well, you got one, baby.
Yeah,
I have one. I have one.
Marie, why all the drama? That one ovary can function perfectly normally.
Totally, yes, I am.
Yes, no, but you come a long way from saying my fertility was cut in half, which is not true. So why all the drama here?
The drama is that every doctor, every naturopath, every midwife that I've consulted with has pretty much told me that I should have gotten pregnant before it came down to this. From all the surgeries that I have, I have lots of adhesions and scar tissue, and I just fear that I'm not going to be able to carry to term or have a normal pregnancy.
All right. You ever get sexually abused?
I was.
Yeah.
Drew knew that. How come Drew knew that?
I'm going through homeopathic means right now.
That's how I knew. That's how I knew.
And,
Marie, all that energy on those pelvic organs, that's what sexual abuse does.
Yeah, I know.
I understand, but you're the drama you're creating around the relatively, real but minor pathology you have there is the issue here.
Wow. Okay. Actually, the issue for me is not the drama. It's the fact that my husband doesn't want any more kids, and I do.
All right. Yeah,
that's
well,
a wholly,
it's
totally
a
different.
Let's talk about that. No, listen.
Totally
first
different.
Off, forget this homeopathic crap. This is nonsense. This is
right.
the don't do it. Don't buy into all this crap. It's nonsense. It really is. Just use some. If you need medicine, use the stuff that works.
Like Percocets, those don't work anymore.
No, listen, this homeopathic stuff is the dust from the fart of a Chinaman.
Oh my God, I can't believe you just said that.
It's what it is, and it's a slightly less effective than that. Slightly
oh my
less,
God.
Marginal less. Clinically, it's been shown that the gas from an old Chinaman is actually slightly more effective.
The dust actually, I have a little a ball jar full of that gas.
The Chinaman does.
Yes.
Adam releases some of it periodically himself.
Yeah. Yes, it is. It's nonsense. There's people that have mental conditions who also want to work on themselves, and that's what this is for.
Okay.
All right. Don't be one of those people.
Okay,
now, you have one kid. You're 22.
I'm 22.
You can go through your medical stuff. It's not going to render you sterile. Don't get into it with your husband right now about the second kid.
How old is your husband?
25.
He's right. Let him make a little more money. Let him figure things out a little bit.
Oh, but we're stable right now. Everything is fine.
I know, but why? You're 22. You have a kid. How quickly do you need the next kid?
Well, but if she has endometriosis, there is actually a reason to do that. That is the thing
Thank
that's going
to
affect her fertility when she hits her 30s.
All right.
Thank you.
Well, have that kid then.
It's not all the drama around the ovarian cysts, which are really nothing.
Okay.
No implications.
All right.
Okay, so anyways, what do I do about the risks in my relationship?
Well,
the risk of having a kid?
This is going to break it up?
Entrapping him to have a kid?
No. I left that decision up to him, and then he said he was going to think about it. Next thing I know it, I'm being pushed into surgery to have this solid cyst looked at, hoping that it's not cancer, because cancer runs in my family.
Oh, boy.
So, it's not just
okay,
the
so, all right, so,
ovary. I'm totally, it's not like, I don't know it's there unless it hurts.
Okay,
so it's
but
totally an emotional issue.
Listen, here's the thing. Here's what I think we're all going to agree on. How about a little therapy for the abuse stuff, and then through that therapy, seeing where it goes with the child.
And we worry about the boyfriend too, and what he might perpetrate on the kids, given her history. And
who abused you when you were younger?
Oh, a cousin.
That was it.
I was raped as a teenager.
Okay, what about the guy you're with now? Do you trust him?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Does he have a sexual abuse history?
No.
No.
All right. I don't tell you. Have you gotten some therapy?
No. Have I?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You have?
Yes.
Okay.
I've even done, like, I don't know, hypnotherapy. I've done paintings. No. I've done poetry.
That's more homeopathy nonsense. More Chinaman and fart in the wind. Chinaman's fart in the wind. That's what that does for you.
You should
I
be.
Know, but
all right, therapy. Listen.
Having them bring up that happened 12 years ago is not cool with me. It doesn't help.
Okay, all right.
We got it.
Good. Listen, her argument for therapy is going to a counselor and having him drum up stuff that happened to me, like abuse,
too
when
painful.
I was young, is too painful. It's not an argument for not going to therapy. That's why you're going to therapy.
Instead, she runs away to all this BS.
Please, all you people with your painting therapy and
well,
your clay. Oh, please. That's for 5-year-olds who are molested. They draw pictures of people that molested them with their fingers.
But sometimes these people can't get at that stuff any other way.
All right. But the dream interpretation and the hypnotherapy, that's just a more crap.
Yeah.
More diversion. More excuses. I'm sorry for being tough on Marie, but look. You're a smart person. You gotta be smart enough to get some therapy. And then you'll work the kid thing out.
Yeah.
Okay, Jim Belushi, our guest. We'll
yes.
Break.
I'm listening intently. I'm being a really good listener.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Jim Belushi is our guest tonight. According to Jim, is the name of the sitcom ABC 8:30 Wednesday night. Well, wait a minute. Wednesday nights and shifting to Tuesday nights this summer.
September.
That's right. And still at 8:30 All right. Let's.
We're gonna take three gym calls. Three gym calls.
All right. We starting off with
a gym selection, yeah.
Angel?
Yes.
You're 16?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay.
Oh, Jim has picked these calls.
Well, no, this Jim has picked and or they're calls for him.
All right.
I feel special now. I have two questions, actually. Since I've been with my boyfriend, which has been about 3 months, I've been giving him, like, excessive hand jobs just in the most random places, whether, you know, parents are there or not. And
oh, whoa. Parents present?
Yeah, well, they're not aware of what's going on. Like, in the back of the car when they're driving.
Wow!
Under blankets in the living room.
I'm willing to bet the parents know something's going on.
Oh, they know we're sexually active, but they don't know what's going on at the time.
No, I'm willing to bet. I mean, there's just pheromones released, for God's sakes. You know what I mean? The parents are not born yesterday.
Yeah.
Unless it's the back of a trailer or something.
It's like
a bagel.
Back of a trailer.
No. But I used to be a total subconscious person, just hated sex, everything about it. And, I mean, I just can't stop now. Whether he finishes, he'll finish and I'll just keep going.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
I've done it like 4 times in a row before. And I'm wondering, could there be something like psychologically wrong with me, why I can't stop? It
hold on a second.
Slow down. It doesn't turn you. It doesn't turn you on?
No, not at all.
Well, hold on a second. We got to get into that. But I want to broach the 4 times in a row thing. Does that mean you just go? He goes 4 times in a row?
Well, yeah, it was at his grandma's house, and we'd go, and he'd finish, and I'd wait a few minutes, and I'd just go again, and I would just keep.
Sounds like you guys are having kind of young fun.
Yeah,
but she's not aroused by it.
Do you do anything?
Not aroused by it at all.
Not at all.
Do you do anything else with him? You have sex with him?
Yeah, but I can never. Like, I have a problem with orgasm.
Well, what is the fun in this for you? What do you get out of it?
I don't know. That's the problem.
What's in it for him? I mean, you're having sex. He's getting 4 handies in a row.
I don't know.
This guy's a star.
And where's Grandma during this?
Just in a different room.
In a urn or still alive?
No, she's still alive.
You're not scared she's gonna roll in on number like 3.5 or
she
something?
They have before. We've been walked in on, but they don't. We kind of move and they never say anything about it. If they know, they never say anything.
How old is he?
15.
Wow.
Well, and what does he have? Does he have hippie parents, or are they drunk, or what's up?
No, they're actually really strict about it. Because we just recently told them we were having sex, and they just kind of like,
No more in the car. That's it.
Yeah.
Not in the back of the car.
Not until I get it scotch guarded, for Christ's sake.
And not four times in a row. It's going to hurt.
That's it, Angel. Can't you give him a break in between?
Yeah, a little longer break, 15 minutes.
Well, even with when I'm on
the got
phone.
The Thomas guide all screwed up. Page at 295 is stuck all the way through 427. That's all the San Fernando Valley.
Well, I mean, even when I'm on the phone with him, I'll purposely turn him on and then try to get him off on the phone.
And that does nothing for you? Does it give you a sense of power, control?
No, not really. I mean,
does it make you feel powerful to be able to have that kind of
effect
on somebody else?
I actually think it's funny. I mean, I don't know why, but I think it's funny.
Okay.
Wow.
Anything we need to know about in your past?
No, not really. I mean, I used to, a cousin used to, like, touch me when I was, like, 8 or 9, but I don't, it wasn't for, like, a long period of time.
Well, how many times did it happen?
I'd say probably 5 or 6.
Mm. Yeah, any time, though, we talk to someone who has a lot of sexual energy, especially a young girl, and especially one who's doing a lot of sex or performing a lot but doesn't seem to get anything out of it, we got to believe it's being driven by some energy from the past. You know what we're saying, Angel?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're calling because this is an issue. It feels a little strange to you.
Yeah.
Maybe you should examine this a little more closely.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's definitely something going on.
Now, are you sleeping normally?
Well, I have been depressed. I've been diagnosed with major depression, so, I mean, it's
well,
off
listen,
and on.
Maybe this isn't unipolar depression. Maybe it's bipolar depression.
Actually, my older sister has that.
Yeah, I think you might have it, too.
Just
the pressured speech and the manic sexual acting out and the disconnect, all this stuff has a high manic quality to it.
Uh-huh.
And so are you on antidepressants now?
No, not anymore. I was on it when I was cutting, but she said stopped cutting that I didn't need to be on it.
You're a cutter.
I was.
All right. So really, it suggests, cutting is sort of a borderline thing, that there's a lot of character. You're borderline too?
No, not that I know of.
Okay. So there's a bunch of stuff going on here, Angel. Make sure you're cared for by a psychiatrist, not just a primary care doctor.
Okay. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. If I tried to go for number 4, my balls would turn inside out at this age. I really
at
would.
At this age, yeah.
Yeah, at 17 you'd be fine, though.
15. 17, 4 would have been just a
my balls
morning
come,
wake-up call.
Come out of my urethra. I'd have to stuff them back into my urethra. I'd use the number 2 pencil to get my balls back in.
She'd have to come and go.
Yeah, blow it back out. No, you don't understand. Blow job. No. You misunderstand, Sweet Pea. I want you to blow. I got to get my balls back in place. Oh, my God, 4. Sitting down with Dad in the front seat. Probably listening to, like, Perry Como, too. I mean,
Fly me to the moon.
I mean, imagine. I mean, that's what you can do at 15, everybody. Troy?
Yes.
You're 34?
Yes, Adam. Big fan. Dr. Drew, you're a genius. The question's for Jim.
Great.
I was wondering, do you have any movies coming out over the summer? Are you going to work? I know you're busy in the studio with the TV show. Congratulations on the pickup.
Thank you. No movies at all, actually. I am kind of taking it easy this hiatus. I'm not really taking it easy. I got a band, the Sacred Hearts, and we play a lot of shows. And I'm also doing some Blues Brothers shows with Danny Aykroyd.
Oh, wow. Where are they?
Well, we're doing 2 public shows, one at Detroit and one at the Sun Mohican in Connecticut.
That must be fun.
Oh, it's a blast.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Can I ask you a second question?
Yes.
A more personal question. I was wondering if addiction runs in your family and if you had to deal with it, and if so, how?
Well, yeah, addiction ran pretty deep in my family. I mean, my brother died of a drug overdose.
That was unfortunate.
And, you know, there's all different kinds. Addiction shows up in many different ways in a family.
But did you ever have problems?
Well, I was hoping to. I was hoping that I had an alcohol problem. I was hoping to have a drug problem, and it turns out that
never
I really
took.
I don't. You know, I mean, I heard a definition one time of an alcoholic. You know, if you're gonna have you can't just have a glass of wine. You got to finish the bottle.
Right.
I mean, I can have 2 sips of wine, or I can have 1 bottle of beer, but I can't have just, you know, a handful of potato chips.
Right. Got to finish the whole bottle.
I can't have a couple pieces of candy.
Right.
I got to have the whole Fannie Mae box. So I can lean my addiction is much more toward food. It's a real wrestling for me.
Now, would you say that's a, but he doesn't have the gene.
No. But
my father was not an alcoholic.
But it's an interesting biological commentary, though, is about for non-addicts, people that like to eat, food is a good model for what addicts have to deal with. How it is when you start eating, it's just hard to stop. You just got to keep going. I'm that way, like crazy. I have to not eat, or once I get going.
Well, sometimes they say that alcohol is really an insulin.
It isn't. That's an old theory.
It's an old theory.
Yeah. It's now been localized in particular regions of the brain. What's being triggered in this?
A lot of sugar going on in that alcohol intake.
A lot of sugar going on, and afterwards they crave sugar like crazy.
Right.
But it turns out it doesn't affect the reward apparatus. That's really driving this stuff.
Let's talk to Seth, who has a question for Jim. Seth.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey Adam. Hey Drew. Love the show.
Thanks.
Thank you.
I just wanted to compliment Jim on his work in the animated series Gargoyles.
The one that was that on Fox?
Yeah, it was on Fox or Toon Disney, depending on where you lived.
Yeah, Fang.
Is that
I played Fang.
Wow. Is that still on? I know it was a couple years old, right?
That was 5, 6
yeah,
years.
Yeah, yeah, it started back in 94. And
yeah, 94.
97, and you can still catch reruns on an occasional Disney Channel now and again.
Oh, gee, I haven't gotten any residuals.
Yeah.
Boy, thanks for bringing that up. I'm going to have to chase down those checks.
Yeah, I don't know if they do. I don't know. I don't think they do residuals on cartoons.
Oh, yeah.
They do?
Oh, sure they do.
Well, I'm getting effed, too, because I did Buzz Lightyear, the cartoon, and they air those all the time. I never get any money out of that.
No.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they'll buy you out for 10 runs, but after that, you know, you need to...
Really?
Have you changed your address at all?
No.
Because you could call SAG and they have a box of checks there that are unclaimed.
Wow. Yeah, I like to go down and get some of
that. Honest to God, they do.
Oh,
I check it every 4 or 5 years.
You do?
Oh, yeah.
You just call them up and
call
give me your
them
name,
up.
Say, you got anything with my name over there?
Basically.
Wow.
Wow.
They're after a SAG.
They could find you to send you the ballots. Why don't they?
Well, sometimes when you go through different address changes, the companies,
I'm going to try that. I'm going to call them up Monday. Hey, I'm Jim Belushi. What do you got? You don't recognize a gargoyle voice?
Wait a minute, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Those Fang.
I'll be over. Yeah, just get them all, put them in a manila envelope, and I'll send my assistant Adam to come pick them up. Nappy-headed guy with the big teeth. You'll know. No questions. Just give it to him. All right, let's talk to Amanda, who's 25. Amanda?
Hello.
What's up?
My question is, how can you tell if your boyfriend is cheating?
Why? What's going on with your boyfriend?
Well, my question is he does a lot of things with his family and goes to his old hometown, which is like 30 miles away from where we live.
Mm-hmm.
He is very secretive about stuff. You know, and he's in the past lied to me, like when we were first together.
Are you nosy?
Am I nosy?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Controlling?
No.
Well, let's.
Are you nosy?
Do you have any? You have any porno? Does he? Do you live with him?
I have an apartment, and he stays here. Mm. Yes, most of the time.
Does he have any porn at his place?
No. We have it here.
Oh. You do?
Yeah.
You okay with that?
It doesn't bother me.
Okay.
It doesn't.
No.
You're okay with that.
That's acid test.
Right. Have you been with guys who cheat in the past?
No. I've never been with a cheater.
Did your dad cheat on your mom?
No. They're very happily married.
Yeah, he's probably not cheating then.
Well, yeah, why would you think he's cheating?
Well, he's like 29 and I'm 25 and we like have no sex. Does boys' sex drive like go down?
Has he always been that way?
No, when we were first together, 2 months after we were together, I was already pregnant.
With him?
And by him.
Come on, Drew. What did you say?
I had like a miscarriage, and we got pregnant again, and I had a baby.
All right.
And I mean, like, we had it like 5 and 6 times a week.
All right.
And where are you at now?
Like, maybe once or twice a month.
Is he on medication?
No.
Anything else changed?
He doesn't work.
Is he drinking or doing drugs?
No.
Maybe he's a little depressed.
Work.
I don't think he's depressed. He's really like, I think he's got an anxiety problem.
All right, well, that's part of depression, Amanda.
Is it?
Yeah, and oftentimes. And listen, a guy who's cheating usually is on his best behavior.
Really?
He doesn't want to tip you off to anything. I know if you were cheating, you'd be sure he found out about it. That's
oh,
why.
Yeah, definitely.
See how women are?
Right, yeah.
The
women,
thing that's weird
if
is
they're cheating, the guy's going to know.
Well, because really? They're cheating for a reason.
They're cheating because,
instead
God damn
sending
it,
a message,
yeah.
You're not listening.
Yeah.
Now you're going to listen.
A guy is doing everything. He's doubling down. He's bringing you flowers. He's going to make sure you don't find out.
Right.
So,
like when we were first together, he lied about he was actually still married.
Ooh.
And I didn't even know it until I was already pregnant. I was like, well, we need to do something like live together, get married. He goes, well, I can't really tell you anything right now, you know, yes or no. And
all right,
his
well,
sister
no.
from Washington had to call and tell me.
Yeah. Well, this is sort of what we were talking about, though. Weren't we kind of asking
yeah.
if he cheated like in the past or what kind of guy he was? You're like, no, he's great, he's great.
He actually really is. He's a really good dad.
Yeah, except for the lying and the cheating.
Right.
Does he have a kid from another marriage?
No.
Hmm.
No, he doesn't.
Did you get married?
No, we're still not married.
Why aren't you guys getting married?
He says he doesn't want to get screwed over again.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know, because his ex-wife, like, really gave him bad credit, nasty. She was really a real nasty person.
Okay.
I'm, like, totally innocent. I've got 3 jobs. I've got perfect credit, you know.
Yeah, you got good credit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, people with good credit and good TRW can't be cheated on. I don't know if you know that. Listen, Amanda, now we don't know.
Yeah, because you're in denial about who he is.
Yeah, and he doesn't want to get married, and I'm wondering if he's just kind of pulling up stakes.
Yeah.
He's just sort of backing out of this relationship slowly.
Yeah, and what's an approach I can say to him?
Well, I think you just need to be straight up, up with the guy.
Getting back into reality with
him.
You have
a kid? What's going on? Are we going to get married? Why? How are we going to raise this kid? We're not living together. You are, you got pregnant a few times by this guy early without living with him, with no intention of getting married.
While he's still married.
While he's still married? What's up with you?
I don't know. I guess I'm very,
needy?
No. Worse.
Nosy?
What? Sneezy?
Abandonment.
Well, what's going on? Well, who abandoned you? Your parents are still together, right?
Yeah.
Were you fat in high school?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still fat now, I guess.
Oh, yeah. This is what fat chicks do.
Really?
Yeah. Because here's the thing. And then we're moving on because we've spent too much time here. But your parents are still together. You don't have this history. Women have a low self-esteem who are fat.
Right.
And they settle for stuff that they shouldn't settle for.
Right.
And you got a guy who's basically screwing with your self-esteem.
Right.
He's hanging out, but he's not hanging out. He's back and forth. He's noncommittal. He's not treating you very well. And because of your low self-esteem, it's okay with you. You're going along with it when you shouldn't. And that's either someone who was abused or someone who had a bad daddy or someone who's fat. A girl is fat. Guys are fat or jolly and have high self-esteem. I don't know what it is. They overcompensate. All right, Amanda?
Yes?
I would dump this guy.
Really?
I don't trust this
guy. Well, they got a kid together.
All right, but he's not even living with her. And he's going out of town. He's out of work. You got this out of work. He's a deadbeat dad.
What's he do for a living?
Me?
Him.
Him? He lives on unemployment.
What did he do for a living?
What do I?
What did he do for a living? This is going to be good.
Yeah.
This is going to be good.
Produce department
and
at a dollar store.
At a dollar store?
Yeah.
Hold on, that's a novelty job.
Yeah,
that's the kind
really.
Of job. That's the kind of job that my agent would yell at me if I fired him. Yeah. Okay, have fun. You'll be working produce at the 99-cent store.
Hey, Adam. He's not up to that. He's collecting disability from that job.
You'll be collecting disability from you getting ass canned from the produce section of the 99-cent store.
Oh,
this sounds comical that the dollar store has a produce section.
What do you do?
That's it. She's the secretary, a nurse, or works with kids.
Collects money at the toll booth.
What do you do?
I'm a manager of apartments. I work for a distributing company as a vendor.
All right.
And I babysit.
Okay, you do your thing. I don't trust this guy. You got to get your self-esteem in order, baby.
Yeah.
This guy ain't cutting it. You're better than that.
I feel that better.
You're better than he is, which doesn't take much, by the way. I flushed a turd that was better than he was this morning. You understand?
Yeah.
But you're still better.
You guys sound like my family.
Still better than
really?
He is. All right, baby?
Interesting.
Yeah. All right.
My family has the same opinion.
All right. Well,
baby,
there you go.
Work on it.
Take somebody's advice sooner or later.
Jeez, we were able to arrive at it in 4 minutes.
And shed some of them pounds, too. You'll feel better.
Yeah. After having a kid, it's a little hard.
It is hard.
It is, but, you know, no one said it was going to be easy. All right, baby?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, listen, I feel sorry for overweight women in this society because basically there's an unspoken thing when they get in a relationship, which is, hey, I'm a guy, I'm thin, I could be with a thin chick, I decided to be with pathetic fat you, so you'll take whatever I dish out. I'll call the shots, I won't work, I'll come and go as I please, I'll give you a little sex in when the time is right.
Then
you'll never go anywhere. You'll never leave me because I'm not fat.
The women are locked into that by the way the culture and the media portrays being overweight because most of it is genetically based. But everyone knows that if you buy the Cindy Crawford video, you can look just like her if you work hard enough and you do what she tells you.
Is that video is good for beating off to.
Hey,
not a slight against Cindy. She's
okay.
She's a lovely friend.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying all these videos. Claudia Schiffer, they come out the video, they write books about how women can look like them, and it basically, well, I drink a lot of water, I put cucumber slices on me, I have a positive mental attitude. Well, listen, are you high? Are you high? You look, we should interview your parents and figure out how you got to be this way,
right,
not
right,
you.
Right.
You're hot because you're hot.
Hot.
Yeah, you're hot for the same reason. Some guys are tall and some guys are short and some people have blue eyes and some people have brown eyes.
Just born that way.
That's exactly right. It, to me, I find it the height of arrogance when people that are born a certain way, a gift, maybe they have a great voice, maybe they look a certain way, maybe they have amazing comedic mind, whatever it is, a talent.
Athletic prowess.
I find it insulting when they decide to write a book on how you can be this way,
right,
too.
Right, right.
You're going to affect your vertical leap by reading this
yeah,
book?
Yeah, right.
Please. It's really cashing in on the downtrodden to me. All right. So, anyway, Amanda's got to get her esteem in order and dump this guy. Aaron?
Yeah.
You're 29?
Yeah. I got a question for Belushi.
Here he is.
How did you steal that fox from Ally McBeal?
Courtney Thorne Smith.
You got it.
It was very easy.
Same way they stole her from Melrose Place.
No. She actually had left
Melrose.
She had left that show, and then she always wanted to do a sitcom, and apparently she loved this script and wanted to meet on it.
Okay, let me ask you another thing. Is her personality in real life as portrayed on TV with your show?
She's a doll, man. I mean, she's as cute as can be. I find Courtney really grounded, a solid chick, a woman who's really done a lot of work on herself and has a great understanding of not only herself but the people around her. And
are those kind of people hard to come by in showbiz?
I don't get along with a lot of actresses, to be honest with you, but I certainly get along with the actresses on my show. And it's because of who they are as people. I mean, they're just real people.
Good deal.
Yeah, I'm in love with Courtney. She's one of the coolest chicks ever.
Well, someday, hopefully, I can come down and sit in on your show. And
No. Never going to happen. Hey, Aaron, do you like Courtney, too?
Oh, God, I love her. She's...
Well, you know what's funny about Courtney is that...
Scaring me.
is that women really like her.
Yeah, she's not threatening.
No,
women.
She's not threatening to women. She's beautiful, but she's done a lot of articles on eating and
how to look like Courtney.
The opposite actually is like the pressure it is to look like this, the pressure that women go through.
Well, you know the thing about her.
So women really like her.
She's a very attractive woman, but it's in a way. Women in society decide who's threatening and who's not.
Sure.
And there's women. Who are attractive and threatening, and women who are attractive and unthreatening to other women. And Courtney's one of those. She's the latter. She's really attractive, But women, doesn't bother other women.
No, they love her. Honest to God, they
there's
love
not,
her.
There's not too many hot blondes that they'll accept either.
Yeah.
One of them.
Sure.
All right, Aaron. How many? Quick question. How many times you beat off to her?
Oh, God.
Millions, right?
Millions.
Huh?
Millions.
Millions. We could fill the Rose Bowl with the semen you've spilled to Courtney Thorne-Smith, right?
She'll hook you up with that girl.
Hey, oh, yeah, with the handy.
Adam, I can never beat your record.
That's right. But not to Courtney Thorne. I have too much respect for her.
It's true.
I've gotten everyone else in the cast of Melrose Place with Courtney, though. And that includes the dudes. And extras too. Right. Even just people like bar patron number five.
Got them.
Jim Belushi is our guest. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. Drew over there. Jim Belushi, our guest tonight. According to Jim, name of his show, 8:30 ABC, Wednesday nights. And then in September, switching to Tuesday nights, 8:30, same network. Let's get back to the phone, see what the problem is. Matt?
Hello?
Matt, you're 16?
Hey, here's my problem. I'm kind of inexperienced when it comes to getting with girls, but my girlfriend has given me head a couple times.
Yeah. True, you got the bogus phone?
Just the phone is killing, you know. Oh, did we say no to this? No more of the bad phones?
That's the usual.
Unacceptable.
All right, Matt. Yeah, girlfriend, BJ, a couple times, yes?
Yeah, and every time that happens, I, like, come too quickly.
How fast is too quickly?
Like 20, 25 seconds.
Really?
Is there anything I can do to, like, prolong that? I mean, hey, I like it quick like the next guy, but, I mean, it's kind of embarrassing.
Well, with the oral sex, I don't know if that's a big problem.
Right? What's the point? She's probably relieved that you're quick on the trigger.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no, Matt.
You sound a little upset here. Are you upset about this?
Yeah, kind of.
Because you're worried what's going to happen when you do have sex with her?
Yeah.
All right. Well, it's tough. Here's the thing. We're talking about sort of the hand that gets dealt to you and hereditary things, and this is one of them. I mean, this is the books that the guys write. But the reality is some guys go in 15 seconds and some guys go in 15 minutes. And that's kind of the hand that God deals your balls, and that's about it. Now, here's what you can do. You can stay with one person, and you can work it out. I mean, it's not going to be great the first couple of times out of the gate, but you work it out. I mean, you'll have your orgasm and mop yourself off and go for round two.
And incorporate some oral sex into this whole thing.
Right. But, Matt, It's gonna happen. I mean, even if we double your time, we're still coming in under a minute, right?
Yeah.
It's a bad sign, by the way. What has she said? Does she have any complaints?
No, she says she likes it just because, you know, it doesn't take that long.
Right.
That's what
she said. That's right.
All right. I don't know, man.
Matt, are you depressed?
No, not really.
Well, what's up with you? You're always this way? This is you?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm kind of nervous.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Kind of a weird subject, you know?
No, I understand. What if you pleasured yourself, an hour before she came over?
Yeah, I've heard of doing that before, but, you know, like, sometimes, like, after school, if we go hang out, it's not like I can just, like...
Yeah.
Beat off in her bathroom real quick or something.
Well, you could real quick.
Well, yeah,
that's something you could do.
Yeah, you probably don't even have to shut the door. You'd just be done by the time you turn around. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm trying to think. Matt, is there a position that you have difficulty having the orgasm in?
Well, no, Matt will be.
I don't know. But it seemed like one time.
No, Matt, listen to me. Do you have a position? Like, do you masturbate?
Yeah.
And you do it laying down?
Or any position?
Normally sitting. Yeah.
And what if you did it standing? Would it take longer?
I don't know. I guess I'll have to try that.
try it standing and see if it takes longer. If it takes longer standing, the next time you get oral sex, do it standing. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, it's like there's positions that guys are used to orgasming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you get out of that position, like there's some guys that are used to being on their back when they're beaten off, right? So they orgasm more quickly if a woman gets on top of them when they're having sex.
I didn't know this. Keep going.
But if you, Jim,
yes,
get into the doggy position,
right?
Now all of a sudden I'm behind you and you're in the doggy position and your knees are bent and you're upright and you're in a position that you never have an orgasm in. It's going to add a little time, or it could theoretically add a little time. Matt possibly needs to find that.
This is part of that working it out process.
For Matt, yeah, I think it's being hung by his feet.
Yeah.
I think that's his position.
By the neck, with
hung
no
by,
air.
Hung by the neck. Still squeeze three off before he goes unconscious.
I'm telling you, we should put him with that other girl.
The hand girl.
Yeah, the hand girl.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 14 times, and my dad was just going out to get a pack of smokes.
Jason?
Yeah?
What's up?
Hey, still that Max Bay, try a couple Vikings, and he'll never come.
Again, the awful... Hey, guys.
His
awful phone calls again? The phone?
You got to make sure the lines are in good shape, Brian.
Unacceptable.
Michael?
Yeah, hi.
You're 20? What's up?
Yeah, I got a question, and I also need some advice, and I thought I'd ask specialists, you know, because I listen to you guys all the time.
All right.
Well, my question is, you know, I go to the drugstore and I pick up condoms, you know, before I go do it. And there's all the different kinds, you know, there's ribbed and there's sensitive and lubricated and all these special things. And I always buy the combo pack to see, you know, which one works. And I've tried all of them and I so far haven't felt the difference. Is there supposed to be some kind of difference between them or?
And how you feel?
Yeah, I don't feel anything. I don't feel the same to me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the ribbed and all that stuff is not for you.
I know it's for her. But she tells me she doesn't feel a difference either.
All right. There you go. There's different. You know, some people feel some difference with these different brands.
The rib for her pleasure,
or if the you know if there's the ultra thin and there's the animal skin, and some people just notice a difference, and some don't.
Okay, well, and here's the other thing. I have kind of a problem.
Uh-huh.
I've been going out with this girl and been active with her for about 2 years now, and we were just talking about stuff, and we eventually got into like the conversation about orgasms. So I asked her, you know, how does it feel if you have orgasms, and she tells me she doesn't know. The last time she had one was 2 years ago. And, you know, we have sex all the time, and that kind of, like, hit me really hard. I didn't understand why, you know. So,
how old are you?
He's 20.
I'm 20.
The last one she had was before you.
No, it was with me. She said the first time she had it, we weren't even having sex. And all times we've had sex, she's never had an orgasm.
Right. Maybe you should have asked this question a little while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. I was your age, man, and my girlfriend wasn't having...
Yeah, it's difficult for the guy to know what to do. But
I didn't know what to do, man. I was so embarrassed. And she finally, one time, she was so frustrated with me. She just grabbed my hand and put it down on her and moved it and put my finger right where I was supposed to be. And
really?
Took my hand and rubbed it. And I'm like, well, why didn't you tell me? We've been going on for a year and a half. Why didn't you just tell me that? Well, you should know. I said, well, how am I supposed to know unless somebody tells me?
Okay, women have got to get that through their head.
Yeah.
Again, men are lame. And they
well, I was lame. I was lame, having a ball. The poor thing was suffering.
Lame, but willing to learn and aiming
to
please.
Anxious to learn.
Yeah.
Right?
You know. Anxious to please. And it ain't going to happen unless somebody shows us.
Yeah. And sometimes they get angry during that year and a half.
She was getting angry at me. And honest to God, she was mad. When she finally did that, she was just so frustrated.
Right, but then it worked, right?
No, and I was grateful for the education, you know.
Right.
You left her and went on to someone else.
I went on to someone else, and then someone else.
Applied that technique on the new chick.
Yeah, then you learn how to go down on them, and you do this whole, you know, it's the whole thing, you know.
All right, well, let's get back to Michael for around 1 second here. Michael?
Yeah?
Are you giving her oral sex?
I do all kinds of different things, and she just told me that she just doesn't get an orgasm.
Are you consistently doing the oral sex?
Oral, not really.
Yeah. You know. All right.
Get down there.
And by the way, that answer. Well, I do everything. I try everything. I'm a potpourri. I'm a sexual potpourri. Yeah, really? You've given her oral three times.
Everything. I've done lots of stuff, man.
No, listen. You get her in a lot of weird positions and bang the bejesus out of her, but she wants some oral sex. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I got it.
Sorry, buddy. You got homework now.
Okay, man. Thanks. I appreciate it, guys.
Okay. You're not going to do it, are you, Michael?
No, I am. I'm going to go to the library tomorrow, pick up another sex book, and check it out.
Oh, well, they have those books.
Yeah. They do. No, they don't.
Well, what's that? What's that girl that was in here the other night? Kitty. You can do it online.
Yeah. Here's the deal, though. Here's the deal.
TickleKitty.com.
Here's what's going on with Michael.
TickleKitty.com.
Yeah.
Michael is getting a whole bunch of different condoms, and he's like experimenting, and it's all about intercourse for Michael. But that's not what she needs.
But this is the typical male thing. Is this is feeling great to me? Why is it feeling great to her? I can't understand this.
I get it.
And it's a work.
I'm having a good time.
And all the movies, they seem to be, they love it. You know,
porn chicks screaming. Bernadette.
Yes.
You're 23.
Yes.
What's up?
I've been married to my husband for 3 years. Mm-hmm. I just had twins. They're about 10 months old.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And since they were born, every time we're having sex or oral sex or when I'm either going to have an orgasm or during an orgasm, I have to make myself stop. Like I can't do it. I have to stop. Like, for some reason, I don't know if I think it's dirty or... I never used to be like this.
Since the twins?
After I had the twins. And I'm not sure if that's just normal because I had children, and or is this something I need to get some kind of therapy for?
Are you on birth control pill now?
No. I'm sensitive to birth control.
You're sensitive?
Yeah. I get headaches, nausea, vomiting, excessive bleeding.
Are you on any medication now?
No.
So, what could have happened to her, Drew, with the kids? 10 months?
He's breastfeeding?
10 months ago?
No, I stopped.
And you're not taking anything for that?
No.
Jeez, I just wonder if there's something biologically different and she's trying to explain it away as something psychological. You know what I'm saying?
But it seems like he gave birth to twins less than a year ago.
And you had no problem before. Why would this all of a sudden kick in? And why would it... It'd be one thing if you said, gee, I feel funny about being sexual now that I'm a mom.
Well, she did say dirty.
Yeah, but just at the orgasm part. What is it about that would...
Yeah, just the orgasm part.
Well, maybe she's got some feelings about mommy not having an orgasm.
But the
why not? She's a mommy now. Maybe she has some feelings about that. Bernadette?
Mm-hmm.
You, how do you get along with your mom?
My mom died.
Ooh. Uh-huh.
You know.
She died during an orgasm?
No, she died 9 months ago.
I was just playing the answer.
I'm sorry.
9 months
ago?
9 months ago?
Yes.
Ooh. And so she died...
As you got pregnant.
Well, she died after I had the twins.
She died a month after, twins were born.
Oh,
and was she a young woman?
She was 39.
Oh, my God. What happened?
She had cancer.
Oh. What kind of cancer?
Cervical.
Do you have some weird feelings about that or fears about
that? No, I have no fear about getting that.
She was pregnant with you at, 17 or something?
17, yes.
Oof.
So there's stuff here, maybe. How'd you get along with Mom before this?
Great. My best friend.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah.
You really shouldn't even like your parents once you become an adult. You just tolerate them.
Yeah.
Best friend.
We made it. Oh, jeez. Oh, my God.
If my dad was my best friend, the first thing I did was kick his ass. And say, listen, pal, you've been asking for this for a long time, Pops. Okay, Bernadette, I'm guessing something with Mama.
And I'm wondering if something just has changed biologically. You're trying to explain it away.
Well, it could be that, but Mom died a month after the twins were born.
Well, here's the deal. Go ahead and have one and see how you feel.
I have, and I don't like it.
The orgasm.
I don't. I feel nasty. I have to stop.
See, she feels nasty.
I don't get it.
That's the part that's weird.
Yeah.
I don't get it either.
Do you think there's some thoughts about you being a mother and your mother passing away recently and, you know, taking on a motherly role and not having... I mean, no one likes to think of their mothers having an orgasm. They think of her as baking a pie, not having her pie filled. I mean, are there those kinds of thoughts? Are you a religious person?
No, I don't think about anything like that. My mom was very open with me with her sexual life, so I don't get nasty about that.
That may have freaked you out a bit, too, though.
No.
What do you mean she was open with you?
She was open when I was an adult. She
Your father's hung like a paint can, Missy.
No, she would just let me know just her sexual experiences. And
that didn't freak you out a bit?
No, it didn't.
You were an adult then.
Yes. Well, my mom, she was a single mom, so we were really close.
But she didn't lay that stuff on you until you were an adult.
Until I was an adult, yes.
All right. There's energy here. I don't know.
That's something.
Therapy.
Just start having the orgasm. We can work it out.
Just go ahead and take one for the team.
Yeah.
All right?
Okay.
And then listen, if you still don't like it, can I have your orgasm if you're not going to finish them?
Is there a problem with feeling dirty?
Women are all over the map, though, when it comes to sexual feelings and orgasms and feelings about themselves. And almost anything can screw it up. Do you know what I mean?
Orgasms, she feels dirty. I mean, is there a problem with feeling dirty? I think it's kind of cool to feel dirty.
I think a lot of women want to feel a little nasty, but the dirty part, do you know the distinction?
Yeah.
They want to feel dirty on their terms.
Yeah, right.
And maybe this isn't on her terms.
It's not okay for her.
Let's take a break. Jim Belushi, our guest tonight, we'll be right back. Line to go. Jim Belushi, our guest. According to Jim, is the name of his sitcom, ABC, 8:30 Tuesday. No, Wednesday nights, and then shifting to Tuesday in September.
8:30. Yeah.
That's right. Okay, let's talk to Sarah, who's 29. Sarah?
Hello.
What's up?
Well, it seems like my question basically is why I am only attracted to men who are either married or unavailable.
Which is unavailable and unavailable.
Meaning, emotionally unavailable, like one of my male friends likes to put it. He always tells me that I'm attracted to men who are emotionally unavailable.
This is Sarah Jessica Parker.
Well, in Sex and the City.
Right, this is Carrie Bradshaw in Sex and the City.
Well, it's funny because I, ever since I started having sex, I'm attracted to married men. It's like I want to. I don't know.
Okay.
Like,
well, listen. We'll figure this out. Where's your
Jim
dad?
Would like your number.
Well, my best friend. He's married.
No.
We do all these great things together, and you know, of course, his wife doesn't know. But I mean, I'm completely in love with him. But yet, and I know. But
well, you sound sort of dingy and baddie at the same time.
I'm not dingy and baddie, thank you very much.
Okay.
Is there a difference between dingy and baddie?
A little bit. Slight, subtle, subtle difference.
Dingy.
So describing the wine.
Hold on.
The taste of a wine.
Here's what happens. Dingy turns to baddie as they get older.
I see. Got it.
Dingy is a younger, more attractive baddie.
Yeah,
because baddie is when you start driving slow and you got the stuffed animals in the back of the car. Hey, old baddie, broad, move your ass. That's baddie.
I got it.
Dingy's playing with your hair.
Yeah.
It's swirling with your hair, chewing gum. Listen, I'll take dingy over baddie.
Any day. You're right. You gotta be careful. Dingy does turn into baddie.
I just
like nosy turns into bitchy.
That's a very good point.
Are you nosy?
So dingy is to baddie what nosy is to bitchy. Sarah?
All right,
so you there?
What's your question?
Speaking of baddie, where's daddy? Just because it rhymes. That's the real question.
My father?
Yes.
Oh, he passed away when I was 7 and a half.
There you go.
That's the answer.
There it is.
Think he's unavailable?
I'm always attracted to older men, too.
Yeah, well, it's all here, Sarah. There it is.
It was right there.
Men who are, you know, at least 5 to 10 years old.
All right, well, there you go. You're trying to retrieve that horrible trauma.
But, you know, I don't want somebody to act like my father, please.
No, but you want to attach to that feeling, the feeling of what it is to be attached to him. Is the feeling you're looking for.
Well, okay, yeah, I can see that.
There you go.
I just, you know.
Not a good thing.
Well, no, I agree. I like the idea of actually being able to get a married man.
Yeah, but you're 29 now. You're 29 now.
Yeah.
I understand it helps you feel powerful and all that stuff, but you go ahead and try to have a real relationship with a real person.
Well, I tried, but it just didn't.
All right, well, then what do you want? What do you want from us?
No, I'm just trying to figure out why.
We told you why.
Okay.
Your dad passed away when you were 7. It's very traumatic.
If you
want to
do something
scared
about
to
it,
connect.
You can. If you want to just try to get in some relationships and really make yourself truly vulnerable, go ahead. If you can't, that's time for treatment.
Hmm.
A little therapy, baby.
All right.
Okay.
Or else you're going to live. Right, you're gonna live. It's like sleepwalking
Hold
through
on.
Life.
I don't even know. Sarah, come on. What do you want? Why are you calling us? Why are you wasting our time? Why are you wasting your time? You're just ruminating over the phone about guys that are 10 years older and your best friends. What are you getting at? What do you want from us?
I was just wondering what your advice would be.
Our advice is this is connected to your dad and your dad passing away.
Okay.
And you can go ahead and have a real relationship, and if you can't, then you got to get some treatment.
All right, baby.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Keep sleepwalking through life.
Good luck. All right. I like it. You know, it's funny. People have a sort of an agenda, and they think they can just talk you out of it. I mean, what it is this is like, it's equivalent to you pulling your car into the mechanic and going, it's making a weird noise. I'm pretty sure it's the rear end. And the mechanic slides in the car and he slides back and goes, no, it's the transmission. And you're going, yeah, I'm sure it's the rear end because I can hear that's where it's emanating from. And he's going, no, you synchro on the tranny. He's gone. Yeah, I figured it was the rear end.
Stop it.
You got the expert telling you where it's coming from. Focus on that, on what's broken, not on what you're insisting. And by the way, if you got a theory about it,
it's got to be wrong.
It's got to be wrong.
Yeah.
Because you're 29, you've been doing the same ass your whole life.
You would have changed. If that theory were accurate, you would have changed.
Yeah, it's not. We talk about this all the time. Being smart doesn't mean you have to be smart. It means you have to listen to people that are smart. That you can be smart just by taking the advice of people who have an answer.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not trying to put us up in an ivory tower, but what I'm saying is quiet the voices in your head long enough to hear the truth and then take that advice and move forward.
If it were something simple, your brain, you would have done it already.
Yeah, and you don't have to come up with the answer. You just have to hear the answer, believe it, and act on it. That's what people have. Stupid is not being able to come up with the answer. It's hearing the answer and not doing anything about it.
That's stupid.
Right. Okay. We'll take a little break. We'll be back with Jim Belushi to wrap up after this. All right, everybody. According to Jim is the name of the show, 8:30 on ABC Wednesday nights and going to Tuesday in the fall. I want to thank Jim Belushi for coming on the show.
No, thank you, man. It was a joy to be here.
Glad to have you. Come back anytime. Tommy Lee in here tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. You sound sort of dingy and batty at the same time.
I'm not dingy and batty. Thank you very much.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.